All right, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part.
It's going to be raining here all week long, and so we're trying to take advantage of sunshine while we can. It's like gray vampire weather in the morning, and then the sun peeks out a little bit, and then it's like thunderstorms, which, I mean, I love, you know, the gloomy vampire weather, but 10 days in a row, I'm like, eh.
I like it dark and cloudy, but sometimes, you know, it's not so much that I need the sun. It's that I don't want to get wet when I'm going to and from my car, only because I need to eat and I need to go outside to get to the store and get food. I don't want to get wet.
My hair gets kinky.
We've got the rain already. It came rolling in. It's going to be raining for days. And today is just like we woke up to like the black sky. And now it's just like pouring all day nonstop. And it's going to be like that for like a few days.
I'm kind of excited for spooky season though. I love the pictures that you were sending me of the Home Goods, the skeleton jar and the ghost jar. I was like, it's here. It's here.
Yes. Everybody needs to go immediately. They've got amazing stuff this year, and it's wonderful. And they have all their Halloween stuff out now in August, and I've already gone like full-on Halloween mode.
At Home Goods, and I'm assuming it's the same at Marshall's too, they have Halloween-themed like pet bowls. They're so cute, and they have all different sizes. So I picked up a whole bunch of pet bowls because they're $4.99. It's the best.
Yeah. You're picking up all these adorable things, and it doesn't matter because everything's like $3.99, $5.95. It's like blue. So even if something gets chipped or you lose it or it only is for this year, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
I feel like it's a good time to pull out the Halloween stuff because it's easing the depression of going back to school.
Don't you want to enjoy it? It's one day.
Yes, so I want to enjoy it all the time.
Enjoy it and take it out earlier, I feel like.
Yeah, well, I feel like people take out stuff early for a bunch of other holidays. So look, I was telling Ron, they have the Christmas tree shop. Even though you can go year round and it's kind of like not a Christmas store anymore. I kind of want to just call it the holiday store. When it's Easter, they put the Easter stuff. When it's Halloween, they put the Halloween stuff up. But I mean, the Christmas tree shop is the idea that you can go and anytime you will find Christmas stuff because people love Christmas so much. They want it to be Christmas all the time. That's okay. I can get behind that. If you love Christmas that much, cool. That's for you. I'm behind that. That's fine. Whatever's your holiday is your holiday. For me, exactly. It's Halloween. And I'm like, you know what? I want it to be Halloween all the time. Always.
Exactly. It's my Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's my favorite time of year because of the weather. I love fall weather and I love the clothes that you can wear. I love the decorations.
I know some people aren't into like the pumpkin, the cinnamon, the nutmeg, but I love it. I love the apple. Went to the city yesterday, which I haven't done in years because I avoid Manhattan now at all costs.
Yeah.
COVID plus the parking. No thanks. So, but they had, because it was Sunday, they had like a little farmer's market. And thankfully now in 2022, we're far along enough that they actually have like food stands that are like vegan and gluten-free and organic. This guy brought all these home-baked goods, but they were like vegan and low-fat and gluten-free.
That's so nice.
And so he already had all like the apple and pumpkin and cinnamon flavored stuff out, even though it's August. And I immediately was like, yes, give me everything that's pumpkin flavored. I don't care that it's August. I don't care if you want to call it basic. I know people are like, oh, pumpkin spice. That's so I don't care. Call me basic. Give me the Ugg boots. Give me my Starbucks card. I want it. I want my pumpkin spice latte. I've got like 3 pumpkin loaves and an apple cranberry loaf from him. And they were amazing.
That's nice.
I'm like, I'm ready for it. I sat down last night with a hot tea and that rain was starting.
Ooh,
pumpkin loaf and tea.
What a cozy night. That's what I live for.
It doesn't matter that it was 85 outside. I keep it like 62 in my house. I just pulled on a sweater. I was ready for it.
I love for those when it's like dark and stormy and you have your cozy pumpkin spice latte and your cozy sweater that says, I smell children or some shit like that.
Perfect. I was actually talking to my hairdresser recently about the new Hocus Pocus movie coming out.
Better be good.
That's what I said. I was like, they better not ruin it.
I swear to God.
I feel like that's my childhood.
I will like flip the table.
I was like, I don't care how they do it. She was like, oh, it doesn't look like it's remade. I'm not sure how it connects. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't have to be connected. It doesn't have to have the same characters. It could be a whole new storyline. I just don't ruin it. Please don't ruin it.
How do you feel about Netflix doing Wednesday Addams?
All right. I haven't seen anything other than like a few small little trailers.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest. I haven't really been excited about what I've seen so far.
Yeah.
I've been trying in this part of my journey not to make snap decisions so much. Sure. Because I feel like I am a very emotional person and I do sometimes have very reactive judgment.
Okay.
I'm trying to very much be a not judge a book by its cover type of person. So I will definitely give it a fair shot and like watch an episode or whatever to like give it a fair shot. But just based on the trailers, like I'm not super excited about it. Like I'm honestly like, I just feel like Christina Ricci was like the epitome of what Wednesday Addams should be. And, you know, they're taking something that was just so perfectly done. You know, you had Angelica Houston, you had all these like really perfectly done characters. And if you're going to do it, I'm just very concerned. What I've seen so far hasn't really thrilled me.
I do like the new Morticia, the dad. I don't know the actor's name in real life.
I don't know
what they did with his wig, but it does not look right.
Yeah, I'm just not sure. Really not sure, but
I have high standards, Tim Burton.
I really do. I feel like any of those spooky staples of my childhood, Hocus Pocus, Addams Family, Beetlejuice, yes. Like if you are going to take those icons and remake, like when they remade Ghostbusters, that was a flop. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. Like I understand what they were trying to do and I'm all about the feminism, but it's not just about taking something and throwing ladies' roles at it just for the sake of feminism. Like to me, that's kind of a kick in the face of feminism. Like that's not the point of feminism to me, but I'm getting off topic. Like if you're going to take good movies and remake them or make them into sequels or spinoffs, like you got to be really careful. Like Ghostbusters is classic and you guys like fucked it up for me. So far what I've seen of Addams Family, not excited. I'll be honest, yeah. Hocus Pocus, I haven't seen any trailers. I've only seen movie posters.
Yeah, me too. And I've only seen a ton of the like reboot people getting excited over like the new like t-shirts and they're redoing a lot of, you know, just like stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But Addams Family, I have actually seen, I think I've seen two trailers. I'm waiting to see Wednesday herself just deliver something to me that like brings it up. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Holding out.
I know. I have a special place in my heart for those movies too. And I don't think it needed a remake.
Yeah,
at all.
I really don't either. But again, I feel like, you know, maybe they have some new vision, something that they're going to bring that's going to add some value.
And I also heard rumors that it was going to be like Wednesday grown up and she was going to have her own family. And I was like, oh, cringe.
Like, what is it? Like, is it going to be Addams Family with cell phones? Like, how's that going to?
Ugh, gross. So do you want to hear my story? It's trigger warnings for everything. Okay, so I went with this one because I've kind of hung on to it for a while because I first heard of the story and I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, we should all see justice. He's Batman. And then I was like, I went back and forth. So I just hung on to it because I had different feelings. And so at the end, you can tell me, am I right or am I wrong? And other people can tell me too, like, is this like vigilante vigilante service? Should that be okay in society? Should we accept that or should that not be okay? This is the story of Jason Vukovic. And my sources today are, there is a Facebook page run by his sister, and there's Thought Nova, Talk Murder, All Things Interesting, and I believe there was a Variety article, and I can post that too. Jason Vukovic, he was born June 22nd, 1975 in Anchorage, Alaska. His mother, she was a single mom who was raising two boys, and she later married a man named Larry Lee Fulton, who later adopted Jason and started raising him as his own. But instead of protecting the children, he became their abuser. The parents, the Fulton parents, they were dedicated Christians who, as a family, attended church services. So, I mean, this added to Jason's horror and confusion when, as he got older, his stepfather started to use the late night prayer sessions to abuse him and his brother. Jason and his half-brother, Joel, were physically and sexually abused by Larry. I won't go too deep into everything, but he was a monster. He would use various items like belts. He would custom make tools to abuse them. They shared a bedroom, but Jason would say that he would take the brunt of it so that his little brother wouldn't have to. Years later, Joel testified about the abuse they suffered at the hands during a trial. And he just said that he took it, he thought it was his job and his duty as an older brother that I would go first so he would leave my brother alone. So he would roll up against the wall and just take it. Very sad. Then in 1989, Larry was finally charged with second-degree abuse of and molestation of a minor and convicted, but only received a 3-year suspended sentence from Superior Court Judge Carl Johnston in Alaska. And then Fulton was allowed to go back home. What? And everything just continued where it left off. No one came back to check on the family. And the mom stayed married to Fulton. And when Jason turned 16, he and his brother ran away. So during this time, Jason said that his silent understanding was that he felt worthless, like he was a throwaway. And the foundations in his youth, it just never went away. So he fled to Washington State, and as a minor, he had no identification and no way to support himself legally. So that's when he started leading a life of petty crimes. His criminal record, and it is online, it just shows lots of fraud, thievery, a lot of drug use of controlled substances, and it spread from Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, all the way to California. Eventually, he did go back home to Alaska in 2008, and he did get married, but he was accused of assaulting his ex-wife. He denies it, and I don't even know who his ex-wife, what her name was. There's no evidence of an actual assault, so I'm not sure if it was just he said, she said, or what. Mm. But it's like it was a fight, and it ended there. They got divorced and moved on. So Jason described how he felt at this point. He said, "I literally gave my own existence no value or concern. I became a thief, a liar, and I went on to make many poor choices throughout my life." So it's 2016 in Alaska. He's in and out of jail for these petty crimes, and he began reading. I don't know how he got to this point, but he's on Alaska's sex offender registry, and he's reading all these different entries. And he starts creating a list of men who have been convicted. So the thoughts of him growing up start consuming him as he's writing down a list and he's checking these websites. And he's got this notebook and he's making a list. And it turns out he's trying to make a hit list of different offenders. He's got three names that he's picked. The first name is Charles Albee, then Andres Barbosa, and then Wesley Dermarest.
He picked these guys just from his own research. He just, these are his own list.
It's his own list, his own research. He found himself on the website. He found himself looking through the registry. He didn't share how he got from point A to point B to these people, or how he knew them, or if he ever was in a circle that knew them, or it didn't say anything about that. He just found these people from the registry, started to write down names in a notebook, and then from that list, he narrowed it down to three people. And the first person was Charles Lehman Albee. It was the first one. He knocked on his door early in the morning, June 24th, 2016. He answers the door and he pushes the 68-year-old inside and he orders him to sit on the bed. The guy has no idea who Jason is. And Jason just starts slapping him across the face several times. He tells him how he found his address on the registry and he knows what Albie's done. Then he just simply robs him and leaves. That's all he does. Albee, I did look up his registry. He is a sex offender and a kidnapper and has been convicted two times of abusing minors, according to his public arrest records. I did find somewhere else. It was TikTok. I'm not sure how accurate this is, but the stuff that he robbed him, he then turned around and then just gave it to a single mother with kids. So I don't know who the single mother and kids are. I don't know what he robbed. But apparently that's what he did with the belongings. 2 days later, Jason used the same method to enter Barbosa's home. But this time, he appeared at 4 a.m. and brought two female accomplices. He then threatened the Barbosa with a hammer and he told him to sit down. He punches him in the face and he warns him. And it's funny because this becomes like what he's known for. But he says, I'm going to bash your dome in. And they start calling Jason the dome basher, which I'm like,
wow.
Like, who calls it a dome? But anyway, I digress.
I guess better than a noggin
bash. I guess. I'm going to bash your dome in. I'd be like, what? My what? You're going to do what to me? But anyway, the bail memorandum revealed that Jason stated he was there to collect what Barbosa owed. As one of the two women filmed the incident with her cell phone, Jason and the other woman robbed Barbosa and stole several items, including the man's truck. According to Alaska's Department of Public Safety, Barbosa is a convicted sex offender, had child pornography in the home, and is a child kidnapper. So, no one feels bad for Barbosa. And again, he turned around and everything that he stole, he gave to a single mom with kids. So, all right. Like, is he bad for stealing things from a sex offender and giving it to a single mom? Like, you shouldn't do that, right? Anyways.
Well, let's see where it goes.
But the fact that he comes in and he makes these men cry and threatens to beat them up and just slaps them around, beats them up, I don't know. All right. Next, the third person is where he starts escalating the violence. And it's Dermarest. Dermarest is, so it's, I guess, the middle of the night. It's like 1 a.m. He knocks on the door And when no one answers right away, he forces himself inside. And so I'm going to read you exactly the account of what happens, because it's a little long, but it's interesting. So the 67-year-old Wesley Demarest woke suddenly and heard the sound of glass breaking. He shared the apartment with another male roommate, and the two men stepped out of their rooms to investigate the noise, and they see a man standing in their doorway. The man said, "Is your name Wesley Demarest?" the strange man asked. And Wesley replied, yes. The intruder tells Wesley that he's here to get what he's owed, and then forces Demarest on his knees, where he proceeds to, quote, bash in his dome, end quote, with a hammer. That's his new saying. From the Anchorage Daily News, quote, "The next thing he remembered, he was waking up slumped on the ground in a pool of his own blood, and his attacker was gone, and his roommate had called 911, end quote. He was there, wearing only his underpants, soaked in his blood completely, and paramedics got me on the stretcher and took me out of there. He barely survived the attack. He had multiple concussions, a fractured skull. He broke his hand. His eyes were swollen shut. He posted pictures of his face, and it was messed up. Demarest, he did spend 2 weeks in the hospital. I mean, he had, like, staples in his head. It was really bad. He complains that, like, he also lost his job because of the attack, and he was worried that Jason was going to come back and attack him. But this is what Demarest was convicted of. He attempted to rape a kindergartner in 2005 and then served 9 months in jail. That's all he served. So he's a convicted child rapist, and he only served 9 months. But he's complaining about that he lost his job and wants us to feel bad. I don't know. We'll move on a little bit. We'll keep going. After the attack, Demarest, I don't know if he shared this on social media or if he was interviewed for, like, a magazine or newspaper. This is what he said Jason told him. He said, Jason said that he was the avenging angel and that he's going to make justice for the people that you hurt. Meaning him. Then Jason stole an assortment of items, including laptops, and then just fled. It didn't take long for police to catch Jason because he was sitting in his Honda Civic nearby with the items he stole, the notebook containing all the names of the assault victims, the laptop, all the other stolen goods, the weapon used to assault and break into the home.
So it's like all right there for them.
Yeah, it was the easiest arrest ever. He was arrested on the spot and later charged with 18 counts of assault, robbery, burglary, and theft. He initially pleaded not guilty, but opted to make a deal with the prosecution instead. Now that he's in prison, and everyone calls him the Alaskan Avenger, he has since publicly denounced his actions and urged victims like him to seek therapy over retribution. One of the men he attacked has stated that he should serve more prison sentence or even his full time, while others have called for his release. I'm wondering, he's in jail or in prison serving 28 years, yet the combined total of everyone he attacked was only 8 years and 9 months. So should he be behind bars more than the three people that he assaulted?
Okay. All right. This is so complicated on so many levels. Here's the thing. They made an example out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want other people to jump on the vigilante train, which is really popular right now. He's not the only one doing this. There's a lot of, like, groups I mean, I'm sure other people have heard about like biker gangs who do this. There's a group in New York apparently that like rides the subways and like protects the subways. I mean, different sort of idea, but this idea of going out and being the protector or being the avenger, the deliverer of the justice that our society can't dish out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we are going to allow anyone or everyone, but really, I mean, you know, just any Joe Schmo to take the law into their hands without being checked, without being with any kind of training, on any kind of like credentials. I mean, we're trusting somebody, this guy, to make a call. So, mm-hmm. you know, when we're saying like, okay, he's making this list, he's choosing his victims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he does his research and he's picking these people off this list, and we want to believe that the people he's going after did what they did. And okay, and maybe they did. I hope, and it's my sincere hope, that he went after the people and that he gave them what they fucking deserved. Mm-hmm. Because if it was my kid, I want to do the same thing. But that's why I can't do it.
Because I can't
be the law, right? I mean, we can't be the judge and jury. Like if that was okay, then all right, like anybody who was sexually abused, anybody who's been attacked, anybody who's been raped can just jump online, look for people who have attacked them that way, point a finger and say, okay, I can go after that guy because he did something that was done to me. And because he's on a list and I can see his charges online, I'm going to believe that the justice system, which we all know is mm-hmm. corrupted and messed up, and we look at these cases all the time and see that it's fucked up both ways, right? People
right.
who are innocent get locked up. People who are guilty don't get what they deserve. And so I'm trusting that some list I'm looking at online is telling me that these people deserve what I'm about to give them. But what if I go after somebody who didn't deserve it? Like, what happens the day that I go and I kill someone that didn't do what they did? Like, I listened to Jillian Pensavalle on Let Women Do the Work interview the woman that she spent a decade in prison because she was accused of abusing little girls by, I forget if it was her boyfriend or ex-husband or her roommate's ex-husband, that it was his kids and he wanted them locked up because they were in a lesbian relationship and he couldn't have her. And so he didn't want anybody, you know, to walk away from that situation. And he convinced those little girls to lie and say that they had been part of this like satanic abuse circle by these lesbians. And that was completely false. But if you had looked up at any time at that registry, this woman would have come up as a convicted sex abuser, you know, as a convicted child rapist. And if you looked at her mugshot, she looked like a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So she looked like she had raped a bunch of 6-year-olds.
So when Jason appealed his sentence on the grounds, so he said that he had, and I believe him, he has PTSD from his youth. He said that it should be considered a mitigating factor in his case, and it wasn't brought up initially, but he lost the bid in 2020. So the Alaskan judge said being a vigilante won't be accepted in our society. So that is understandable. But also there was a case in Texas where the dad walked in on a worker. They had a farm or a ranch, and one of the farmhands was doing something to his daughter. And he took matters into his own hands, and nothing happened to
the
dad.
I feel like
and he ended up killing the farmhand.
Yeah. And that 100%.
Is that being a vigilante? Or is that just taking matters into your own hands?
I think that the difference between that is the dad walked in and saw it with his own eyes. Like you were there.
Okay.
And mind you, there's a lot of people who are going to say that's still not okay because he should have turned him over to the cops. And you could call me violent. You can call me vindictive. You can call me petty. You can call me a lot of things. And I'm a Scorpio rising and a triple water sign. And I will right now admit to you that if I walked in on somebody hurting my kid, that I will be the first one to go at their throats. Mm-hmm. So I would absolutely say that if I walked in and I saw something with my own eyes, then I 100% know that it happened. Is it okay that I took the law into my own hands? Probably not, but at least then I know because I was there. And so you can't question my reality that I saw it happen. But when a vigilante, like if he had killed his own stepdad, I'd be like, absolutely no jail time, because he took revenge on somebody who personally hurt him. And there's still going to be people who say that's not okay, that it's still not okay for us to take justice into our own hands. Mm-hmm. But when we become, you know, just out on the streets, I want to take revenge for other people. Like, at what point are you looking at evidence and deciding, you know, what evidence is legit, what evidence isn't legit? We know that there's evidence that's tampered. We know that there's DNA that's not good. We have new science coming out all the time that exonerates criminals. And like, listen, I'm the first one who says, like, I would absolutely in another life be a prosecutor, and I would be a bitch. I would give, Ron tells me all the time he's happy I'm not a prosecutor, because I would give him the fucking hardest time. Like, yeah. I would be the worst. I'm not a criminal sympathist. I'm not a child, like, abuse sympathist. I'm not, like, I want all these people prosecuted, like, to the fullest extent of the law. That's why, like, we love true crime. We hate these people. But I also, if I want more justice in the world, and if I'm the type of person that I don't want to see this thing happen, if I want justice reform, if I want a better system, then I can't want that system turned over to people who have no fucking idea what they're doing. And I do see cases all the time where people are charged with shit they didn't do. Mm-hmm. And okay, now, to your point, to answer your question, no, I don't think this guy should get more time than like the people he attacked. And I do think that he probably had really shitty representation. Like, I think the time he got, considering like the abuse he went through and the fact that he wasn't attacking just to kill people. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't attacking because he just wanted to go out and, like, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't a rapist. He wasn't a burglar. He was kind of, you know, I mean, he kind of was like this sick, twisted Robin Hood. He was like a Batman.
Mm. Yeah.
But I don't think he should, like, I think that is a middle ground. Like, no, I don't think he should be in there for 30 years. But no, I don't think that we should just say, like, yeah, cool, walk free. I do think that somebody like that is going to need therapy, is going to need some kind of like severe oversight, because he's probably at like a high risk for like reoffending. Like, somebody should be probably monitoring his computer use moving forward. But probably somebody should have looked at his life and said, like, you went through something severely traumatic and something that made you want to go out and try to right the world. And there's a lot of really terrible people in this world, and we probably shouldn't be taking up a jail cell with somebody like this when we could probably be putting a child rapist in that jail cell. So no, I don't think he should be in there for 30 years when we last week gave the person who gave Sharon Lopatka, what, we gave him 6 years, and he had child porn in his trailer up the wazoo.
Yeah.
So I think if we're going to give him 6 years, then no, we shouldn't give this guy, what, he get 28? Fucking ridiculous. So no, like, I really think that they made an example of him, like, in a really shitty way. But I think that's probably because right now, I think I've been hearing a lot about like this sort of thing. Like, I think that it's part of a product of where we are right now. Like, our society right now, there's like so many people angry. There's so many people angry at the police. There's so many people who feel like there's not enough being done. There's so much like division right now between groups, and so many like people who just feel like, I just feel like it's bred this sort of environment that you're seeing so many vigilante groups, and vigilanteism is becoming such a hot button right now. Like, in the last, you know, like decade, 5 years. So I think that they made an example of him, which was a shame because he probably just needs a lot of help and he probably just has so much pain. And the fact that he came out and said, like, I shouldn't have done that is like, you know what, like that should be taken into account because, you know, there's a lot of people sitting in jail who murdered people who are like, no, fuck you. I didn't do anything wrong. So, yeah, he's right. Like, there's a lot of things that should have been looked at when he made his appeals that, like, fuck the judge who's sitting there saying, like, we got to make you an example. Like, no, fuck you. Like, you're probably just a dirty judge like half of the other people in this world. Like, and people who are going to come for me, like, go ahead, come for me. Like, I see how the system works all the time. I know how dirty the system is because I see Ron working in it every day. And fuck all of you who are going to come for me because I know how many people are taking money under the tables. And fuck all of you because it's a dirty fucking system. And people all the time get lesser sentences and for much worse shit than what this guy did. And you know what? There are that I have on my phone. I have an app that tells me like, it's called Offender Locator, and they have an Offender Locator Lite. They have a free version with ads, and they have a paid version with, like, and you can look up all the people, like, within, like, your...
Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah, with, like, you can set it to, like, with either within a 5-mile radius up to, like, a 25-mile radius of where you live, and it'll tell you, like, everyone on Megan's Law list in your area. And some of them are horrifying. And then other ones, there's people on the list and it'll say something just like, oh, child endangerment or child kidnapping. Mm-hmm. And I always like wonder because I know that sometimes those charges are just because maybe a divorced couple had a fight and somebody didn't return the kid after their weekend. And not that that's okay. That's not okay at all. And I'm telling you because, and this is like maybe a little too much, like my parents, when I was little, there was situations like that. And it can be horrifying if you're waiting for your kid to come home and the other parent doesn't bring them home. And I'm not minimizing that situation. 100% that is kidnapping. That is child endangerment. However, that's not the same as abusing a child. So those Megan Law lists, that's why I'm saying like this type of like, let me just go onto an app or let me go on Megan's list and just start targeting people. Like, what's the criteria? If you're not a cop, like, and especially if you're an abuse victim and you have that trauma and you're going to be reactive, like, where are your triggers going to be? What if like me, if I was triggered by something like child kidnapping and I'm going to go after people who child kidnap, like, am I going to go after people that maybe it was a misunderstanding? Like, I'm not going to know the ins and outs of those cases. And is it going to be the type of situation like this where I'm going in and I'm burglarizing at first or just beating them up and then it escalates and escalates and escalates. And, you know, then he's bringing in accomplices and you know what? Maybe he has good intentions, but what happens when you bring in accomplices who that they don't have good intentions or you bring them in, but then they go rogue? And then how do you control the rest of the group? And like you're Batman and you have good rules and you've established rules for the group. Like, okay, we can beat them up, but we can't kill them. But then somebody brings a gun. You know what I mean? Like that whole situation can start to go out of control really quickly. And then you can't control the other members of the group or you're out of control or something happens. Mm-hmm. And like, that whole thing is just something that we can't just let go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, I feel bad for him. I don't want them to see somebody like that, especially an abuse victim, be in a jail for 30 years when we know that we can do something much more productive with that jail cell.
Yeah.
But also, I cannot condone or say that, yeah, let's let those groups go out there and, like, punish all these perverts. Because as much as I'd like to take a knife to some of these people, I understand that.
Like, it's we not can't your job.
Like we can't let these people do that because it will become chaos. It will become the purge. And then we will be at the other end of that. And then it will become psychotic. Who makes the rules then, right?
It's hard because you want to fight for what's good and you want to have revenge because you can get emotionally involved in the story or be affected personally or have whatever factors, and you do want to do what's good, but you also have to sometimes you you just have to let so other hard. People take care of it.
I know, and it's hard because if you tried to think about, well, what if it was my family, or even not, I mean, trying to think about the families that are saying, well, what about our justice? What about the families that had to look at think about if that man tried to rape that kindergartner, and only having spent such little time in jail, and then he's back out on the streets where he could hurt more children. And you think about, like, well, you know, that's so unfair. How can we let the system keep, you know, dealing with it when it deals with these people so ineffectively? And I completely understand the system's broken, but that just means we need to work on fixing the system. That, and I know that that's a humongous problem and that's a different podcast, but like, we can't just say, let's all be Batman, because there's a lot of good people like us, but there's a lot of people who will try to be Batman that will become the Joker. And we can't, with there are too many villains out there. We can't just say everybody go, everybody green light. Mm-hmm. We have to, as unfortunate as it is, reel these people in and say that laws are laws for everybody. And the same as it's not okay to abuse a kid, and it's not okay what happened to you. It's not okay to be violent. It's not okay to go out there and take the law into your own hands. That's also a law. It's complicated.
It's so complicated. I was trying to think, because there are other vigilante cases where, I don't know the outcome of it, like the updated resolution of it, but I do know what Jason is going through, and he does say that he has gone to therapy. He does know what he did is wrong. He does know and encourage other people who are in same situations as him that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that you obviously don't need to do what he did, that, you know, it won't be forgotten, but it can get better. If you do want to look up Jason and his family, they do have everything on social media, from Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And he does like little interviews, and he posts or sends pictures and stuff like that to keep in touch with everyone. Mm-hmm. He is up for parole in 2023. So he does ask for support. So
I'm going to go look that up.
So there is ways to support him in that way. If you are on his side for, you know, believing in him on that end of it, or.
I mean, I would only go and like look him up and try to support him because he's trying to mm-hmm. be better, and because he's trying to spread that message of that's not the way it should have gone, and there's other ways, and I should have healed a different way. Yeah. And you know what? I think this was a really good and interesting case to go into. And I think it is, I think it really does give us a different coloring when we see somebody like him that came from such a painful, tortured place. I think it would be different for us if we saw this case and we saw just somebody that, you know, like a stockbroker who grew up in a perfectly normal home and decided, like, hey, tomorrow I just decided, like, I just want to be the new justice deliverer, mm-hmm. not because of any trauma, but I just decided, like, I am the right person to deliver this justice. Mm-hmm. And like, how would we look at that if tomorrow just some philosophy professor decided, like, no, I know everything about what's moral and right, and so I've decided I'm the one to do it. Like, we would have a very different idea of, like, mm-hmm. wait, hold on, that sounds crazy.
He definitely, obviously, we always post pictures to go with the story on our social media, but he is definitely someone who is, you don't want to judge a book by the cover, because now I think he has definitely grown and he understands the big picture of why you reform yourself and why you change and things like that. But, you know, he's a big guy and he's got like tattoos and he's kind of got that look like, don't mess with me. But then he's also got a picture of him with a kitten. Like, like I think he's just a good dude, you know? Like, there's nothing wrong.
It's hard to be on the inside, and you know, you have to have a certain persona to survive in there. So listen, you gotta be a tough guy. You can't be a target either. So get the tattoos and then hold the kittens.
I don't think anyone's gonna mess with him ever again. I think he's gonna come out on the high end, the other end of this, in a good spot. But there is,
maybe he'll come out and like become like a speaker about this, and maybe it can like be a jumping off point for him to like do something useful with his life and not like be this sad hole, you know, that like his trauma led to something that, not that, you're ever grateful for your trauma, but that maybe all of this led to something springboard. That his life has a purpose.
Jason, we're fighting for you.
We'll see what happens with that parole. See what happens. See where that goes. Well, great story. I'm surprised you're keeping that in your back pocket, Steph.
I know, but it's just one of those things where it's like, but he still did something wrong.
Yes. He still did something that we're not supposed to do. You shouldn't go around beating people up.
Right.
That's the tagline.
I know. But he's also like Batman. He's a vigilante.
I mean, you know, I do love my Batman.
Stephanie, remember when we first started the podcast and we were clueless about where to start?
I'm pretty sure we're all clueless, Natalia, but lucky for you, I knew the perfect place to start, Anchor.
We are lucky that we found Anchor, and even more lucky that we found each other. But our listeners don't need luck now that they know if they want to start their own podcast, Anchor is the way to go.
Anchor is everything you need to have a podcast. With both a desktop and mobile app, we can record, edit, and launch all of our content within one program. Natalia and I think of Anchor as our daddy.
Daddy Anchor gives us one easy place where we can build all the episodes, and it automatically launches to all the best listening platforms like Spotify and Apple. It's my favorite kind of relationship. Anchor gives me everything I want, and it's free.
When you're ready to start a podcast, Anchor is going to make it easy. And then you will all realize how two armchair detectives like us managed to pull this off. Available on the App Store, Google Store, basically anywhere where you do a Google search, you can find it right there.
We'll talk to you later. Enjoy the sunshine. Try to get a little vitamin D. And I will try to get some school supplies this week. Maybe.
Maybe.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. I wanted to jump on here real quick and let everyone know how they can get a hold of us. Of course, we are on all social media channels. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to send us a message, tilldeathdoispartpodcast@gmail.com. And we're much more active on Instagram, tilldeathdoispartpodcast. If you have sent us a message and we haven't either responded or heard back from us, do not feel bad. It is not your fault. It's Natalia's fault. And with that being said, definitely like, follow, subscribe, review, share, all those fun things. See you later.
Bingo.
Bingo. Bing bong.
All right.
Daddy Anchor.